Jesus gives us the love and grace that our hearts hunger for every day. It's been a while since we went to our series of messages in the book of Hebrews. We had some special occasions, and today I want to return to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and the first three verses. As a very famous chapter in the book of Hebrews, the heroes of the faith, or the hall of faith. And the very first verse, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, gives us the Bible definition of faith, what faith is. And God's Word is the best place to go when we want to learn more about how to live the Christian life. I do remember that our last message in Hebrews also included the last several verses of chapter 10, beginning in verse number 35. In 10:35, where he said, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward." And so, we are to have total and complete confidence in our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Complete confidence, faith, and trust. Look, he says in verse 38 of chapter 10, "Now the just, those who are justified by the blood of Christ, shall live by faith." That's how we're to live, is by faith. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe it's in verse 7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Or we, at least we're supposed to. "The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." The idea there is like looking back behind your shoulder, like Lot did. Lot's wife. Remember when they left Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot's wife looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. And Jesus says in Luke chapter 9, and verse 62, "He that looketh back," or draweth back, "is not fit for the kingdom of heaven." He says, "Those who draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. For we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Now that is a gospel timely salvation. Our belief in God is not the cause of our salvation, but it is the evidence that we've been saved. And we see that now in chapter 11, verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it," by faith, "the elders obtained a good report. And through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we're so thankful that you've given us the gift of faith in the new birth as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And through faith, we believe in you and the work of redemption that you've accomplished for our sin. Through faith, we believe that you created all things. And through faith, you enable us to walk the Christian life every day. Father, I pray, Lord, as those in the New Testament, a man told Jesus one time, "Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief." Oftentimes, our faith grows dim and weak, and we know that that happens when we take our eyes off you. Just like Peter, when he began to get out of the boat, walking on the water, began to sink when he took his eyes off Jesus. So, Father, help us to keep our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What is faith? Well, here is the definition in Hebrews 11:1. First, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word substance is made up of two parts, sub and stance. Sub means under, and stance means how we are standing up. The best idea I can think of for the word here, substance, is that of the subfloor of the flooring in a house or in a building. Like, for example, you might have hardwood floors, you might have tile, carpet, but under that you have a very thick, sturdy, and strong subfloor. And that subfloor supports and holds up the decorative flooring on top of it. And so that is the meaning of the word substance in the Greek language. It is that which supports our life. Now, there's other scriptures in the New Testament where it actually refers to Jesus Himself as being our faith. Now, of course, Jesus is the object of our faith. Remember, Paul in the book of Galatians says, until Christ came, we were shut up under the law, and it was our schoolmaster till Christ came. Or it says, until faith came, who is Christ Himself. He is the author of our faith. And so, we stand upon Christ, who is that solid foundation for our lives. In Psalms 11, remember, it says this, if the foundations be destroyed, who shall stand? And we always remember the story, not the story, but the parable that Jesus gave in the ending of the Sermon on the Mount concerning foundations, the substance of our faith. And there are two foundations upon which we may build our lives. Now, speaking in spiritual terms, we either build our lives by living by faith or living by sight. So Jesus illustrated those two ways of living in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24, when he said, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them. Now, first, you have to have spiritual ears to hear with. So that presupposes that we've been born again. And doeth them. So it's not enough just to hear, to have some understanding of spiritual things, but it's imperative that we walk in them by faith. And then Jesus says, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So the foundation has to be strong. Okay? And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house. And it fell not, it didn't fall, for it was founded upon a rock. There was a strong foundation. There was a strong substance that was holding that house together. But on the other hand, those who hear the word, the sayings of Jesus, and do not do them, being a forgetful hearer, is likened to a foolish man that built his house upon the sand. Now notice that both builders faced the same inclement weather. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great, great was the fall of it. So regardless of which way we live our lives, by faith or by sight, we're going to face the same kinds of storms in our lives. But the difference is, are we walking by faith or by sight? So if we're walking by faith, we're going to stand. But if we're walking by sight, we're bound to fall and stumble. And so we see that there is a responsibility that we have as God's children to walk by faith. Because it is indeed the substance of the Christian life. Now, next he says, it is that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, what is hope? Is it a wish? Is it wishing that we had more money or a better house or a better car or a nicer job or something like that? No, it's not a wish. It is a confident expectation. It's real. As a matter of fact, the hope we have in Christ is more real than anything that we can see with our natural eyesight. It is a confident expectation. Over in Romans chapter 8, we read about hope. Romans chapter 8, he says that in verse 23, in part, that we are waiting for the adoption, at the very end of verse 23, in this life in which we're living, we are waiting for the adoption, to wit, that is, to witness, the redemption of our body. Our soul and our spirit have already been set free from bondage of sin and death, but the bodies in which we live are still corrupt, still decays and dies. So in this life, we are waiting to witness the redemption of our body. Just like he says in the context of that passage, which does actually begins verse 18, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." See, there's coming a time when there'll be no more suffering. For the earnest expectation, verse 19, and that's talking about our hope in Christ. You could say, for our hope in Christ, the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, so in verse 24 he says, "For we are saved by hope." Now, once again, our hope in Christ is not the reason for our eternal salvation, but it does save us. It delivers us from despair in this life. How easy is it for us to get cast down and in despair? Woe unto me, we might say. Woe is me. Just like the old show that used to be Hee-Haw years ago. Hee-Haw. Woe is me. Agony and despair. We get cast down. We get distraught. We get overwhelmed with fear and worry and anxiety sometimes. But our faith and our hope in Christ saves us from those things, from despair. So we, in that sense, we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? See, as long as we're in this life, waiting for the redemption of our body, we walk by faith, trusting and hoping and knowing confidently, expectantly, that one day, one of two things is going to happen. We're either going to physically die and be with Jesus, because Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Or we might still be living on the earth when Jesus comes again. In the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says. And when the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. So either way, we're going to be changed and be glorified with a glorified body that is likened to the body of Christ. And so there's going to come a day when we will no longer need faith nor hope, because it will be a reality, you see. But we need it in this life, don't we? Because what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for it? You know, there's another verse in the New Testament that literally says, Christ, who is our hope. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. There's two ways to wait. You can either wait patiently or impatiently. Now, waiting impatiently is miserable, isn't it? How often have you waited for a long, long time in the doctor's office to be seen? Whether it be maybe an hour, 2 hours, or maybe the emergency room at the hospital. And we can either wait patiently or impatiently. It literally depends upon our own outlook in life, doesn't it? And remember, patience is a learned virtue. We don't have it naturally. And it is most often learned through hardship and suffering, unfortunately. You know, Paul says that in the book of Romans. And so if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And then third, in our text, the writer says in Hebrews 11:1 that faith is the evidence of things not seen. The unseen world, God, and the unseen world, the spiritual world, is actually more real than the physical world. Why? Because the things that are seen were not made by things that do appear. As he says in verse 3, it is the evidence of things not seen. You know, in the world we live in, the natural world, the natural man wants to see evidence that something is real. This pulpit is solid. I can feel it. I see the evidence that it's real. And without the Spirit of God, there is no faith, and there is no way for the natural man to know, believe, nor understand that there is a God in heaven who made all things. Verse 2 says, for by faith the elders obtained a good report. Then he goes on in chapter 11, speaking of Abel and Enoch and Noah, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses, Joshua, Rahab, and many other heroes of the faith. And it says in verse 38 of chapter 11, of whom the world was not worthy. You see, they were persecuted. For example, it says in verse 37, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Through the ages, that's how it's been with God's children who walk by faith. We suffer persecution, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, in verse 38, and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report, as he says in verse 2, through faith, received not the promise. But God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. And I believe there he's referring to the truth that the Old Testament child of God died in faith, not having seen the fulfillment of the coming of Jesus in the flesh, of the promise of the Messiah. But we, looking back by faith, over 2,000 years, believe by faith that He came, that He lived a perfect life, then that He died for our sins and rose again the third day, ever living, to make intercession for us. So by faith, the elders, God's people of the Old Testament at that time, obtained a good report. And today, in 2024, we can also look back in our lifetime and centuries past, and those of the faith, they received a good report by faith as well. But it is through faith that we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. That is, that God spoke everything into existence. And I believe it happened just like the twinkling of an eye. In the Gospel of John chapter 1, very familiar verse, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, the Logos, Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Speaking of Jesus Christ. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. That is, by Jesus Christ. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In Genesis 1, He said, let there be light, and there was light. And that was 4 days before God created the sun, moon, and stars. Christ is light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that walketh after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We looked at that recently in John chapter 8 and verse 12. But he says in verse 5, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The dark world and the darkened soul and mind of the fallen man, we do not comprehend the light of God unless He enlightens our heart in the new birth. Jesus is the light. He says in verse 9, that was the true light that lights every man that cometh into the world. See, Jesus came into the world, born of the Virgin Mary. The world was made by Him, John 1:10, and the world knew Him not. Isaiah 53 says that He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we did esteem Him smitten and smitten of God, and we lightly esteemed Him. So it is that the things that are made were not made by things that do appear. In Romans chapter 1, concerning that thought, Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Well, prior to verse 18, it says, "The just shall live by faith." Once again, quoting from Habakkuk, Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse number 4. "The just shall live by faith." But verse 18 of Romans 1, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men that hold the truth in unrighteousness," that seek to stamp out the truth. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them." How? How had He shown it to them? Romans 1:20. "For the invisible things of God," of Him, the unseen, you see, "from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by" what? "By the things that are made." You see, creation itself testifies to the truth that there is a Creator. And it's even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So even in that, He once again says that the invisible things are understood by the eternal power of God. So that the things that are made were not made by things that can be seen. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll begin here. I'll begin with verse 13. "We having the same spirit of faith," here it is, faith. And it's the Holy Spirit that gives us faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13. "We having the same Spirit," the Holy Spirit of faith, "according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." See, we believe through faith. "Knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus," that is God, "shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you." You know, when He comes again. "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace," grace of God, "might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God." It's all for the glory of God. "For which cause we faint not." Why not? Because we've been given the gift of faith and hope. "For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." This old natural body is perishing more and more every day, but our inward man is renewed every day as we walk by faith and not by sight. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." See, we often get bowed down under the weight of the afflictions in this life. But the weight of those afflictions, Paul says, are light compared to the weight of eternal glory which awaits us. While we look not, verse 18, at the things which are seen, but rather look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, they're temporal. That is, they're temporary. They're going to pass away. But the things that are not seen are eternal. Of course, God is the one who is eternal. But we also are going to live with Him throughout eternity when He comes again. So the things that are seen were not made by things that we can see with the natural eye. So aren't you thankful that there's more to life than what we see with our natural eyesight? I mentioned this verse several times lately. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19. For if in this life only we have hope in Christ, then we would be of all men most miserable. We would not have a reason to live if this life was all there is to living. But praise God, it isn't. Our light affliction that works for us an exceeding and far more eternal weight of glory. Looking at the things that are unseen. And then in chapter 5, I want to close with this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know. Now, what is it here to know these things? We know them by faith. Hope really is a confident knowledge of the unseen and of things to come. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, speaking of this, our natural body, that we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, that is eternal in the heavens, that someday we're going to have a glorified body. For in this body we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. So be that we be clothed that will not be found naked. You see, the corruptible cannot inherit incorruption. For we who are in this tabernacle or body do groan, being burdened with affliction and care. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Jesus has swallowed up death, hell, and the grave. Now He who has wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given to us the earnest of the Spirit. The earnest is like the down payment. We have the earnest in this life. Someday, we're going to enjoy the full inheritance. Now, He who hath wrought these things, I just read that. Therefore, we are always what? Confident. And that goes right back to Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For we are confident, I say, rather to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And then, that's what he says in our text. We have faith and hope, but someday those two Christian virtues are no longer going to be needed, but there is one that will always remain, and that is charity or love in action. Remember this verse, 1 Corinthians 13:13, "And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." So one day, our faith is going to be made sight, our hope is going to be made reality, but the love of God for us and our love for Him will abide throughout all eternity. God bless you is my prayer for Christ's sake.